Hello and welcome to episode 153 of The Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. Leading the discussion this week is Craig, and joining in on the discussion are Tank and myself, David. Let's get started.
So this week's topic has really been inspired by an episode of the Ask Pastor John podcast, where John Piper gets asked questions from listeners who write in, and he attempts to answer them on air. Generally, I'm a fan of this podcast, I must admit, and I saw this episode come through and thought it'd be good for us to talk about. I'll just read sort of the intro portion just to give us a bit of an idea of what the discussion was about. It says, can Christ-like virtue survive in a cutthroat technology sector like Silicon Valley? It's a great question from regular listener named Bill. Dear Pastor John, recently the Wall Street Journal published an article titled At Netflix, Radical Transparency and Blunt Firings Unsettle the Ranks. The article details the culture at Netflix in which higher transparency and bluntness in firing are virtues to be upheld in high regard. It's a type of social Darwinism in that only the fittest survive. Fear of firings becomes a strong motivator to ensure short-term successes. But Netflix is not the only company to rid themselves of underperformers. And so they mention a couple of other companies similar, and then it says, in light of the biblical priority on grace, humility, servant leadership, kindness, gentleness, and many other qualities, how can a Christian exhibit such character qualities in a culture that perceives these values as professional weaknesses, and do they harm our witness? And so this was a question by someone who is currently living and working in Silicon Valley and is wanting to know how to go about that as a Christian when what they're faced with every day is pretty counter to that. I'm going to say from the outset, I thought Piper answered the question well, as a pastor would answer it. I don't know that if I was the person asking the question, I would still, I guess, have a few questions up my sleeve about, yeah, but how does that play out in day-to-day work life and interactions with superiors and stuff like that. So, that's why we're going to chat about it. Otherwise, we'd just direct you to listen to his answer and that would be that. but I guess a sort of a simple, maybe sort of obvious place to start in some ways is just to chat about this culture that seems to have appeared or arisen at Netflix and maybe some of these other big tech companies of what they call transparency and bluntness in firing. And so, Tank can give us a couple of examples of maybe things that have happened there. And then I want to ask the question, is this an inherently anti-Christian culture just by nature? So, Tank, do you want to kind of give us an idea of some of the things that have been reported as happening in terms of, you know, reasons for firing employees and stuff like that?
Sure. Yeah, so I was able to read the Wall Street Journal article. I guess it's behind a paywall, but somehow I was able to read it without using the paywall. But I went to return to it, and I was no longer able to read it. So, thankfully, I took notes. But the article was a lot of examples trying to express what it means in this question of high transparency and blunt firings. And so, a lot of examples. One of the key examples that it began with was there was a leader. I can't remember which role he was, but he was pretty high up in the company. And during a meeting, they were talking about a comedy sketch where he said that the comedian called someone or said the word retarded. And he said, you know, this isn't a very good word. It would be like if an African-American audience were to hear him say the N-word. He said, for he said the full word. And in the meeting. And so he was, of course, saying it in a negative light. But at some point, he got in trouble for this, for just saying the word at all. And he did what's called sunshining it. And so sunshining it is like a public confession where he just makes known his mistake to the whole company, being transparent. But people thought that this was worthy of being firing, having said that word. And so they called a meeting with the CEO and said, no, we think this is a fireable offense, and they ended up firing him. And so that was one key example. Just some other ones, you know, they were expressing that that if you're a manager and you're not firing people, then you're very likely to get fired because you're not really matching the culture.
So that probably gives us a pretty good idea of some of, I guess, the way that decisions are made in terms of hiring and firing, or at least sort of this blunt firing practice that seems to have appeared. So my initial question was, is that inherently anti-Christian from a business perspective? A business, you know, we've talked before about businesses should just be allowed to operate however they want in terms of who they fire and how they, who they hire, sorry. And so therefore, could people not make the case that how they get, how they move on people should be similar as long as it's not sort of harassing or anything like that. What do you guys think? Is that, is this kind of a, you know, just, is this sort of kicking back against a biblical way of dealing with people just in terms of the way that it's being done?
I thought some of it is to be admired to a degree, mainly the transparency. You know, they are trying to admit their mistakes. They're trying, you know, in the article, one of the things that said was if someone gets fired, they know they're going to get fired because they're usually, they're supposed to know that they get fired because they get reviewed with that transparency and say you're underperforming. And so, you know, they're trying to make clear what their personal mistakes are, trying to review each other well and say what other people's mistakes are. And when they do fire, you know, they're explaining why you're getting fired. And it's, the purpose is, like, you know, to say clearly. And that's where the bluntness comes in. So I think, you know, a lot of that is honorable. I think some people don't do it perfect. And two, I think sometimes, you know, the First John verse says, speak the truth in love, maybe. Second John, one of the Johns, sorry. Somewhere in the Bible it says to speak the truth in love.
And we're pretty sure it was John who said it.
Yeah. If it says love, probably John, right? anyway, it says speak the truth in love. And I think they're really good at speaking the truth. Just from what I read, I wonder how well they do it in love and how well they temper the consequences that they give with love.
Yeah, so maybe the transparency is admirable, but there's a lack of forgiveness potentially, or seemingly at least in terms of the firing, for even though people are aware and they're then sort of doing even what you were talking about, like public confession type thing. But if there's then no mercy or forgiveness shown, it's always just, well, you know, you cross the line, so you're out the door. That could potentially, I guess, be seen as yeah, you know, hitting the mark in some ways in terms of transparency, but certainly missing it in other ways. Got any thoughts on that, David?
Real-time follow-up. It's Ephesians 4:15.
Man, really? Surely John
But I'm sure
too.
John had the thought at some point.
I'm going to hunt for it.
I didn't want to see this as a line item in Skype from David Latchett.
Oh, man. It's going to be anyway. You better just somehow edit it out.
Did I say Skype? I meant Slack.
So in 2 John 1, he says that he loves people in truth. He says, the elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. So that's where I got the truth and love combined. But then I stole from Ephesians to get the specific reference. Anyway.
Cool.
Thanks for the correction.
I see it as my sacred duty to bring follow-up to this show.
I've noticed that David can't be on a podcast without the term follow-up being used in the first 10 minutes of any recording.
I'm 14 minutes in on mine, real-time follow-up.
Well, yeah, but I'm assuming you'll edit some stuff out, so.
That's true. Probably a lot at this point. It's really tricky to answer the question of whether or not this kind of hiring, firing practices are anti-Christian, simply because, like, lack of context. It's really, like, there are environments where it is easy to get fired and hard to get hired, and that can be a perfectly reasonable and Christian environment. Like, when you think about the moral requirements put on a pastor, for, you know, in order to hold his pastorate, those are really high requirements that not everybody can meet, which is why we have the requirements laid out for us in the Bible. But that's not necessarily anti-Christian. Looking at some of the examples from Netflix, it does seem like there's a pattern there of unwillingness to overlook individual offenses. And I know that I would prefer employees be generally evaluated on a pattern basis, you know, a pattern of failure to perform. And if you're evaluating in terms of patterns, like, you can have really high standards, you can have the agreement in the contract be, we're going to pay you an insane amount of money and you're going to do insanely good work. And if you stopped doing insanely good work, we're not going to pay you anymore. Like, you know, the contract is over. So yeah, I guess my answer is, I guess it depends, but it's also the case that Netflix is not just anti-Christian, it's like anti-nice. Like, people are saying these bad things about Netflix outside of just the church. There are people who say that Netflix's hiring and firing practices are just insane, and they're not even Christians. So in the case of Netflix, I think we can safely say that it is anti-Christian.
One of the things that comes out of the article as well that Tank was talking about was this idea that that people who work there, or a number of people at least who work there who have been referenced in the article, are sort of constantly operating out of a sense of fear at losing their jobs because they know about this firing policy. And so they go to work each day not thinking, how can I do my best work and it's going to be a good day today, but thinking, I'm going to get, you know, there's high potential I'm going to get fired. So how do I not get fired? Is kind of the default mentality they would end up with. And Tank, do you want to just, you mentioned a story about a room full of people putting up their hands and about being scared of being fired. Can you just relay that again from the article?
Yeah. So they're having a meeting and public relations meeting with their employees. And one person said he comes to work every day and is afraid he's going to get fired. And one of the speakers said, how many of you all feel this way? And a number of people raised their hand. And her response was reportedly, good, because fear drives you. And that is apparently a big thing that is on people's mind. Like, they come to work every day wondering, is this the day that I get fired?
Yeah. So that was interesting to me because, I mean, I was sort of thinking to myself earlier this morning, you know, is fear really a good motivator for performance? And, you know, I was thinking of, you know, in the Bible, we're told that we know that we serve other people, we love other people because God first loved us. So in response to what God's done for us and out of love for neighbor, we don't sort of in that way, you know, perform, I guess we don't live as Christians, primarily to get a ticket to heaven or to avoid hell. You know, we can't earn our way there anyway. It's by grace alone, through faith alone. So, you know, fear in that way doesn't come into play in the Christian life. And we're also told, you know, 2 Timothy 1:7 about God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control, a sound mind, if you're reading King James or New King James. So I think, you know, fear, we're told to fear God for sure. But I don't know that fear is a motivator for working well or, you know, concentrating hard or being the best you can at a particular thing is necessarily a Christian motivation or a Christian quality that I would have thought that we would be sort of trying to inspire fear in people in order to get them to work better. But is that, do you think there's a place for that? And, you know, can you see any professions where, you know, I'm thinking of firemen or policemen, or maybe, you know, maybe in some situations, maybe it's like David said, this is another, it depends one, you know, maybe certain professions, fear of getting it wrong, brain surgery, you know, fear of getting it wrong could actually spur you on to do better work. But I don't know if by default it's a good sort of base level for people to operate from in most professions. Because it seems to me that what Netflix is talking about is fear is a good motivator for short-term success. And I would have thought that a lot of companies, or I would hope that a lot of companies would be actually keen to transition employees from caring about short-term success to being invested in long-term success. Mm. Now, whether or not that's the case in the tech industry because it's so fast-paced, maybe that's up for discussion as well. But I kind of feel like if it was me and I was in this sort of position that that person was in, that I would struggle. Yeah, I would find that that's not a helpful way to go about trying to produce my best work. So I guess with those sort of couple of things in mind that we've already discussed, I want to now try and hit the actual question that was asked in the article, which or in the podcast, which was how can a Christian exhibit character qualities, Christ-like character qualities in a culture that perceives those values as professional weaknesses? And we could talk about Piper's, you know, I guess, answer or solution at any point. But do you guys have any thoughts on that? I mean, we are all Christians and we've all worked in, you know, workplaces, be they secular or otherwise. So how do we go about exhibiting Christ-like character qualities when we are not? I think for me, it's probably even more, I'm seeing it as even more difficult when you're an employee, not an employer. If you're an employer, you get to set the culture, right? Like you're the leader of the organization in some way, at least. And so you get to be a part of culture building or team building or whatever that looks like, depending on what your role is. But if you're an employee and you're part of a team rather than leading the team, is it just a matter of do what you do and do it as well as you can and be as nice to the people around you as you can and witness, you know, share your Christian faith where you can? Or are there certain things that we can do to sort of stand up more as Christians in these cultures?
First, I'd like to provide a little bit more context from that article, just for some examples of,
yeah, sure.
Like, yeah. So one of them was, so from an employee standpoint, like you're suggesting, here's a story that was told when someone got fired. It says, one former employee remembers seeing a woman who was just fired crying, packing up her boxes, while the rest of her team shied away from the scene without offering any support. They feared that helping her would put a target on their back, the employee said. I just couldn't believe it. And then similarly from, I guess it's like a manager position, which would still be an employee, I suppose. But they are, one story was told that a manager got fired and the thought was if she had fired some people, then she would have been seen as like part of the culture because you're supposed to fire people. And so if a Christian manager wants to offer grace by not firing people, they may get fired just because they didn't fire another person. And so there's some context of like why behaving like a Christian may get you fired. And I think, I don't know, I'm not in that situation, but I feel like it would be hard for me to see one of my teammates fired and crying and be afraid to console the person and go there and lend a helping hand. I think that would be a way to be a Christian, is be willing to take a target on your back sometimes to extend the love of Christ. Depending on the situation. But
it seems like Netflix is almost a parody of how a badly run company is run. That was said poorly, but it just seems like not many companies are run as poorly as Netflix. Like if I were to name companies that I don't want to work at for having anti-Christian policies in regards to how they treat their employees, Netflix would be up there. Higher level offices at Tesla would be up there. And I mean, this question is one that I almost just want to pass on and say, well, don't work there. Like there are plenty of places to work where it's not even don't work there because you're a Christian. It's don't work there because
you're a person.
Yeah, you're a person. There are plenty of nice people who look at Netflix. Like I think of the Accidental Tech podcast crew, because they'll talk about these sorts of things from time to time and they will all say, oh yeah, I would never want to work there. I'm not sure why a Christian would want to work there.
But I guess, is the perception not that that the culture is like this in maybe a majority of the top level tech businesses, tech sort of franchises or businesses? Do you think that's the perception? Whether or not that's the case, I wonder if that's the perception though. Like if people are shooting for, you know, I want to work at one of the best tech companies in the world, and one of the best tech companies in the world happens to be Netflix, and therefore, you know, I may have to come across this culture. Like, I guess what I'm saying is Netflix wouldn't be the only big player, surely, who has this kind of culture. In fact, we've got an earlier episode about toxic tech workplaces. I think this kind of thing's come up before, although that was even worse. I think that was with the Uber fiasco was happening a number of years ago and stuff.
Uber's another one.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, I just wonder if people are kind of, does it disqualify people from, or does it potentially remove people from having the opportunity to work at some of the biggest names in tech if the culture is this way inclined?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that it's morally wrong to work there. Don't get me wrong on that front. All I'm saying is it's that kind of a difficult work environment. Like, nobody has to work at Netflix.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
If you want to work for one of the big players, you know, Apple can be a little bit that way, but not nearly to the same degree as some of these stories that we've heard, or not nearly to the degree as Uber. So, you know, there's Apple, there's Google, and if you're hired at a lower level at Tesla, I've heard that can be good. I have a friend who just got a job there. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm taking the question off topic. If the question is, how do you do this when you already have the job? Like maybe you've gotten the job and you didn't realize it was going to be that way. Maybe it's a new startup, or, you know, the culture has changed somehow. I guess if that's the question, then I would just have to say kind of what Tank was saying, like, do the best work that you possibly can so that you stand out for that reason, and hope that you're doing such good work that when you help a crying woman pack up her things and, you know, offer to buy her lunch or whatever, that you don't get fired for it. And if you do, move on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, I'm thinking of in scripture, we're told not to go and not to sort of draw attention to ourselves if the good things that we're doing are worthy of praise to us, but at the same time we are told to let our light shine, and, you know, like, to be witnesses in the world. And so, like you said, drawing attention to ourselves in terms of just doing good work and being a good worker, working to our employer as to the Lord, no matter who our employer is, in terms of what size company and all that kind of thing, and then hopefully allowing that to give some kind of credence to our or gravitas to our Christian witness as well, is probably a good way to go about it. Piper sort of, towards the end of his answer, talked about Christians needing to bear witness to God's justice and mercy. So whereas sort of Netflix is heavy on the justice, like, you've done something wrong, we're getting rid of you. John Piper was saying we do need to have appropriate competence, but also show that justice and mercy are both forms of love. So it's not one or the other in the Christian worldview. Justice and mercy need to go hand in hand. And both of them together should lead to patience, which is something else that seems to be lacking in these sort of blunt firing, sort of cultures. We've sort of danced around this a little bit already, but, I think that's a great answer. I'm not faulting his answer at all. My only question is, if our witness is ignored, what are we to do? Are we just shake the dust off our feet and move on? David, that seems like what you said, and I think that's a good thing, a good sort of principle that we could follow. If we were to do that, is this the kind of thing where we need more Christians in tech startups to sort of, or Christians running tech businesses to sort of steer the culture in a different direction? Because it seems to me like if this is what the big companies are doing, then there's no reason why smaller companies won't follow suit, if you know what I mean. If it seems to be working for places like Netflix, then I think it's something that could actually flow down to tech businesses more generally. So just wondering if there's anything else that Because I kind of had the same thought as you, David, like no one's forcing you to work there. If you are being a Christian, if you are doing the work, the best work you can, and if you are just living as a Christian in your workplace and that's not good enough for your employer and they're not happy with, they're still not happy with whether it's your output or your interactions, there's only so much you can do before you, I guess you need to move on somewhere else. But if someone came to you and asked you this question, is there any other advice that we would give them? I guess if they were living and working in this position where they were at constant fear of being moved on, and maybe they can't afford, you know, to lose their job and all that kind of thing. That would be a lot of people, I'm sure. Have you got any sort of closing thoughts, other advice?
You know, Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious in anything, but with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God and let the peace, let peace, which passes all understanding, guard your heart in Christ. And I think that's a really difficult verse. I'm not a type of person who gets stressed very easily. I generally don't get stressed, but just thinking like, you know, putting myself in extreme situations, and then thinking, all right, would I be able to live this verse out? Then it gets a lot more difficult. And I think, oh, I might not be able to. And so I think this would be one of those extreme situations where I feel like, you know, that we're called to live an anxiety-free life, even if most people are walking into work wondering if they're going to get fired every day. Because we make our requests known to God. God, I need to pay my bills. I need to support my family. You are sovereign. I trust you. This is the job that I believe that you've led me to. And I'm going to work here faithfully as long as you'll allow it. And don't move me somewhere else. And then say, but you know, first and foremost, I am your disciple. You are my master and you have called me to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, love my neighbor as myself. And that is my first priority. And if I get fired doing my first priority, your revealed will, then apparently it's not your will for me to work at this job anymore. But I know that you're going to take care of me some other way because you promised that.
And hey, so, man, that's good.
Yeah, so I guess I would go into work, head held high, knowing I have a sovereign God. I say this ideally, not saying I would do this perfectly. Go into work, head held high, knowing I have a sovereign God who will take care of me, and then seek to love my neighbor as best I can and seek to do my work as if working to the Lord.
Yeah, that's really good.
When I first started working as like a full-time job in graphic and web design, I was afraid I was going to lose my job every day. And it wasn't because that was the environment I worked in, although I did see somebody fired within my first few weeks of working there, but that was purely coincidental, but it didn't help. It was because of imposter syndrome. You know, I wasn't educated and all of that. And that time was one of the most stressful times in my life. And I can't imagine, there were a lot of things that made that better. Part of that was me getting better at my job. And part of that was me getting better at not worrying. And both of those things were very necessary, but I can't imagine intentionally putting myself in that situation again for any sustained period of time. Like, if you have it on your bucket list to work at Netflix, which I would question, by the way, even working at Netflix just because of the kinds of content that they produce and that they're known for producing. But yeah, leaving that aside, let's say you only got to work on a series of unfortunate events. keeping that aside, just keep in mind that some of these things are for a season. And it seems like even Netflix recognizes that because they're totally okay with having, you know, a turnover rate similar to a revolving door. But I guess just that there are seasons for these sorts of things. And maybe it is a cool idea to go work for one of these companies just so you can say you did, you know, put in 3 months or, you know, but be nice and just, you know, work until they fire you. But you have to have some sort of fallback plan so that being fired isn't the stress that it almost should be. I mean, we're to be anxious for nothing, but just like you should be afraid to put your finger in an electrical socket, you should always to some degree be afraid of being fired. So that you come into work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess there's a difference between like a healthy, I don't know, even know if in that situation it's fear, like going to work so that you don't get fired, or if that's just, you know, being logical and being being a responsible citizen or a responsible family member, you know, if you're a father or whatever and you need to provide for your family, all those kinds of things that that Tank mentioned earlier. But yeah, I think that's a good point too. And I think there's a difference between that and anxiety, like an underlying anxiety that doesn't go away. And that like Tank was saying, you know, Philippians 4 does tell us not to be anxious about anything. And so if you are, like you said, putting yourself in a situation where anxiety is the base level, you do need to pray about that really hard. But it could also be that you know, it sounds like in these cases, at least, that the environment is certainly not helping. So that might be something to look at as well. Anyway, lots of things to talk about and think about on this issue. I'm sure people have had all different experiences on this. Some people, hopefully, most people have not hopefully been in this exact scenario that we've been talking about, but I'm sure people have feedback and other thoughts to add. So we'd love to hear that in the Slack.
You can find our Slack at slack.techreformation.com, where you can sign up to join and hang out with us.
And speaking of terrible companies, you can find us on Twitter at Tech Reformation.
And you can visit our website at techreformation.com to look through our past episodes. Hey, David, this is where you say this has been Tech Reformation.
I don't actually know. Is it just this has been Tech Reformation?
This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Ben used to always say, and I always say, talk to you next week, because it's not, we don't see them, but whatever you want to say, we'll catch you next week.
This has been the Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we will talk again next week. No, I didn't like that. And I'll be back when the day is new.
We'll be back next week.
I can end like that.
We are not the podcast that you all deserve.
You'll have things you'll want to talk about, and I will too.
And I ain't looking back. No, no, I ain't looking back. No, no, I ain't looking back. No, 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 I ain't looking back. I made my choice, and I ain't looking back.
I need to get one of those things that Greg has on his microphone.
Yeah.
The sock thing.
Yeah, it's hard to see behind the big black.
Can't see my expressions. I could be smiling or really angry at you right now.
You're Wilson from
You're Wilson from
Yes.
There it is.